Burrow. He was a historian with great original sources on history, taught us so much. He was a true great man of God, and his name was Rembert Carter. And he said something that I'll never forget. He talked about revivals a lot in history and did a lot of teaching on revivals. But he said something that was very simple, but it was very profound. And tonight, as I preach on this psalm, I'm looking at one verse on the Psalms and one verse from 2 Timothy 1, verse 2, and Psalm 67, verse 1. But as I look at these individual verses in the Old and New Testament, he said something, and you've heard me say it again and again, what we need today is God's blessing. What a man needs today is God's blessing on his life. We've seen that this week. What a woman needs is God's blessing on her life. What a family needs is God's blessing in that family. What a church family needs is God's blessing in that church family. And so tonight, I want to speak on that very subject. What you need is God's blessing. What you need is God's blessing. And I want to take this and read to you Psalm 67, verse number 1, says, the psalmist writing says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Then he says, Selah. Stop and think about that. And that's what we're going to do tonight. So let me read the verse again, the text. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. So that's the name of my message to you. What you need is God's blessing. And I want to say three things about that tonight. Number one, because of God's promises to you of it. Because of God's promises to you of it. And now I'm going to the New Testament. I want you to listen carefully because it's going to be the outline of the whole message. It is in terms of God's blessing. It is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul now is writing to a understudy, a preacher named Timothy, and he says this, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now notice the blessing that he is conferring upon Timothy from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, grace, mercy, and peace. Those are three blessings that you need in your life as Timothy needed it in his life. And Psalm 67 says, verse 1, that that's what we need is God's blessing, talking about the mercy part of it. And so tonight, I want to preach on that. What you need is God's blessing in terms of mercy, grace, and peace. Now, let me say that you need God's grace to succeed in doing his will and his work. God's grace is not only his undeserved favor and blessing in salvation, but God's grace is his divine enablement to do the will of God and the work of God in a way that's pleasing to him. It's God's help. It's God's supernatural divine help that a person receives. And the old divines used to say, hey, that person has a lot of grace in his life. Or that person doesn't have a lot of grace in their life. In other words, there are different degrees of divine help to live this Christian life. There are different degrees upon an individual. There's different degrees of God's help and enablement upon a group of people and upon a local church. And we need God's grace if we're going to succeed in living the Christian life and succeed in doing the will and work of God. But number two, you need God's mercy when you fail and when you fall And you need God's mercy so that you can receive God's forgiveness and do it quickly. I've had times when I have gone into what I knew was not what God wanted, and I'm crying out for mercy right away. Right away. And you need God's mercy so that when you fail, listen carefully, you can get back up when you've fallen down and you've hurt yourself and get back up on your feet again and know that your sins are cleansed and your conscience has been made clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. But how about God's peace? Peace is what you need, and it's an inner calm in your soul and inside of the heart of your life, and it keeps you calm on the inside even when things are going like they went this week in our nation. And you can have and should have, my friend, the blessing of the peace of God, which passeth what? All human understanding. I'm talking to you tonight about what you need is God's blessing. You need His grace. You need His mercy. You need His peace. And you can have it because God promises to you His blessing in this way. And if you are in a spiritual union with Jesus Christ, and by the way, every one of you that's a born-again believer, you are united spiritually to Jesus. You share in His life. Then you have a reason for God to bless you with His mercy. And when you sin, you can know because of your union with Christ, God can bless you even though you've sinned against His love and His favor. And at that time, Christ represents you when you fail. He represents you before the throne of God in heaven. You know, there's an Ark of the Covenant in heaven. You know that Jesus Christ is right there next to God on the right hand of the Father. And there on top of that Ark of the Covenant is a golden mercy seat in heaven. How many of you knew that? I'm sure almost everybody does. And that mercy seat has been sprinkled with the actual blood of Jesus Christ, our high priest, who brought it up there right after He died on the cross and was buried and rose again. And the first thing that He did was that He took a trip to heaven and took His blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven. And when you fail God, you have that going for you for mercy. You have a Savior, you're united to Him. Can your right hand be rich and your left hand poor? Can your right foot be rich? No, He's your head, you're connected to Him, and when you fail by sinning against God's love and grace, you can acknowledge your sin, you can go to your high priest, and you should immediately, and He is right there before the Father to plead your case as an advocate. What? For you to get mercy, so that you can be pitied for failing and get right back up. And Jesus pleads with the Father when the devil is up there, because when you sin and you fail God, the devil has access still to heaven. And he goes up there and he says, look at so-and-so, look what they did. They claim to be a child of God, and look at what they're doing, and he slanders you before God. And the Lord Jesus speaks of the fact that, Father, I know they sin, but that person is united to me. I am their representative. Father, I am righteous, and that person is righteous in me. And I ask you to give them mercy, to get back on their feet because of that. And not only that, the blood that I had shed, my own blood, for their cleansing is right here, Father, on the mercy seat. And you can see it. And I plead that blood on their behalf for you to grant them mercy now that they've failed to get back up on your feet. And if you're a believer, you can have that mercy, and God would give it to you. God would give you also His grace not to fail because of that. And God would give you His calming peace in any circumstance because of your being joined to Christ. And how about the Old Testament? How many times did the children of Israel fail God? And what happened when they failed God? They were brought under bondage by their enemies, and they were impoverished, and they went down into real failure. And what did God do when they confessed their sin to God and they groaned about the consequences of their sin? I know in your own life you've had sin and then you've had consequences. I've said many times, we can choose our sin, but we can never choose the consequences. The consequences will make you pay more than you want to pay, make you stay longer than you want to stay, all right? And so we need to realize that our sin has consequences, but God's mercy pities us when we sin and rob ourselves of blessing. I've seen people, they rob God of tithes and offerings, and they have financial problems. I've seen people, they rob themselves of church fellowship, then they have all kind of sin gets in their life, and they need God's mercy. And so the Lord would pity the children of Israel. I think of Samson. He was a judge, and God raised up the judges to save the people from their enemies. Why? Because they'd sinned, and now they need mercy. And He would raise up a judge. Interesting, He raised up Samson, one of the judges, who himself needed mercy, didn't he? Remember Samson? He got his eyes burned out because he kept sinning with his eyes and looking upon women to lust, and God had his eyes burned out. Now he was grinding for the enemy, and he was bound and grinding, and he was in a terrible place. But he prayed for God to give him his strength back again, and God took pity on him and did, and gave him a great victory over his enemies. We need mercy. We need mercy in our country. We don't deserve God to bless our country, but we need mercy, and we can pray to God as His people through Jesus Christ for that mercy. And I prayed again tonight that God would judge the systems of evil over our country. And the Bible promises those promises that God promises you, those wonderful blessings that He will give you, and one of those blessings is what we call mercy. And what does the Bible say? It says in Hebrews 4:16, and I've used this over and over again. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that's in heaven, that we may obtain mercy. Notice that's the first thing He says, obtain mercy. And then it says, find grace to help in time of need. The first thing you need is mercy. You need to be cleansed. You need to get back up on your feet, and God will do that and bless you. And so what we need tonight, what you need tonight is God's blessing, because God's promises of it to you. And that's His mercy, especially that blessing. But then because of God's pouring out to you of it. And now I'm thinking of grace. And how He can pour out His grace as well as His mercy. He will pour out His blessings of mercy in your life as well as grace. It says in Lamentations chapter 3, 19 through 23, it talks about that. And here is a people, again, the Jewish people, the people of Judah. They had sinned against God. God had sent them Isaiah the prophet and the minor prophets and Jeremiah the prophets and warned them, if you don't confess and turn back to God, get rid of your idols, walk with God, you're going to bring consequences down. You're not going to like those consequences. And we know when it happened, their temple was burned down. They were taken out of the land. They were brought into captivity by the Babylonians. It was a horrible time. And now here's Jeremiah, after he was a preacher that warned the people, please turn to God. Don't bring these consequences on yourself. But they wouldn't listen. They brought the consequences. And now he is talking to them about that. And he says, Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3:19, remembering mine affliction, and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. How about you? If you don't raise your hand, I know many of you can testify to this. You've suffered wormwood. You've suffered gall, bitter things in your life, like Naomi did. She said, don't call me Naomi. That meant pleasant. Call me Mara. That means bitter. Have you suffered times of wormwood, times of being filled with acid, so to speak, stomach acid, the acid of the consequences of your own bad choices, and you've wasted sometimes years, and you have been brought under bondage by that? And here's what Jeremiah says in Lamentations in verse 20. He said, my soul hath them still in remembrance. What's that? The affliction, the misery, the wormwood, the gall. And he says, and is humbled. When you think about the time you've wasted, when you think about the sin that has robbed you of so many great things God could do in your life. I remember Brother Hiles talked about a girl that was, he was set up to date when he was in high school. And he said, if I would have drank booze with that girl and I would have gotten involved in fornication, he said, there went pastor school. There went youth conference. He said, there went. Thank God for his grace that he did not fail and fall into that. It was God's grace that upheld him. But sometimes God lets you fall and he lets you fail, and then you become a testimony of his mercy. And I've said it before, Pastor Ware used to say, don't build your life, don't build a doctrine for living your life on God's mercy. No, you don't want to have that testimony, but sometimes we do have it, and we do need it. I do need his mercy. And most of you will need this to be prepared by God to give you more of his blessings. You're going to have to remember the wormwood and the gall, and how his mercy was with you even though you failed. And his relieving you out of your afflictions, listen to me, will cause you to appreciate how undeserving you are of more blessings from him. And this in turn will allow him, God, because of humility in your life, it will allow God to pour out more blessings. Do you know God cannot pour out blessings in our life because we're just prideful? I was reading Terrence Crawford. He beat Canelo Alvarez, and he outboxed him. He made him look silly, really. He's a superior boxer. He did say God, he did mention God, but then he said, you know, I am excellent. I am excellent. And you're excellent because God allowed you to be excellent. He allowed you to be the best. I'm saying he is the best. I agree that. But you got to give God the glory. And I believe so often we rob ourselves of more blessing being poured out. God promises to give us blessing, but we rob ourselves of more blessings of his grace being poured out upon our life because we're not humble about it. And the Bible says God, and he said it to believers in James, God what? Resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. You know what pride is? It's taking credit for what God and others have done for you. Taking credit for what God and others have done for you. Listen, if God withdraws his grace, you're going to go flat on your face. You see, and if God doesn't show you mercy, you're going to stay right down in your own vomit, and it's going to be terrible and horrible. And so what I'm saying is the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations talks about the mercy, and that is a blessing, and he gives you humility through showing you mercy and even letting you fail. You say, does God sometimes let us fail? Yes, he does. He did it to Hezekiah. He had so much success, then he let him fail. And the Babylonians were able to look at all of his wealth and everything. And that brought the Babylonians down later on. And God said he was testing Hezekiah, but he removed his grace from him. You see, God will let you fail, and that will in turn work humility in your heart and life. And those experiences are needed to humble our pride so he can pour out his blessings of grace in your life. And so I'm saying tonight, what you need is God's blessing because of his promises that he would give you mercy, grace, and peace. And number two, because of God's pouring out of blessing in your life. Especially, I'm thinking now of grace in your life. And when God pours out his grace in your life, not only in salvation, you don't deserve salvation. How many here deserve salvation? Oh, good. No hands are going up. But listen, he also pours out his divine enablement in your life. And you say, why does he do that? Give me a reason for God to bless me. Give me a reason for God to pour out his grace in my life so that I'm going to succeed when I'm going out to do his work or when I'm setting forth to do his will. I'll give you the reason: Jesus Christ. You're united to Jesus Christ. You're accepted in the beloved. It's his blood. It's his righteousness. It's your death and burial, resurrection with him. That's why he can bless you, and learn to come to God for blessing of grace to be poured out in your life and have great grace in your life. You see, the Bible says he giveth more grace to the humble when you come to him through Christ. And Jesus taught that these blessings of the Holy Spirit would produce grace that would, get this, flow in your life. Some Christians, it seems like it's just trickling. The grace of God, just trickling. And what did Jesus say? He said, as the scripture has said, out of your belly there should flow rivers of living water. Your belly is speaking of your spirit, the center of your being, where the Holy Spirit lives. But many times, because we've grieved the Holy Spirit and wasted his work, it's trickling. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, notice that, as the scripture has said, out of his belly should flow rivers of living water. That's what you can claim. That's what the Bible says. That is the normal Christian life. And what is revival? Revival is to take a subnormal Christian, a subnormal church, and bring you back to normal New Testament, Book of Acts, Christianity. And what is that? Great grace. That's the flowing of rivers of living water. And that today is a definition of revival. And so mercy deals with when you fail, but grace means that God gives you supernatural desires and supernatural power to live for Christ a life and to do a great work for Jesus Christ. By the way, that kind of life will be attacked. That kind of life will get the devil's attention. That kind of life will get the world's attention. And that's what God calls upon us to have. Would you like not just living on mercy, but would you like some more grace in your life? God says what you need is God's blessing. And the reason is because you're linked to Christ. You can have it. This is not mock humility. You're accepted in the beloved. He loves you like he loves his son. And he's willing to pour out blessings upon his son because his son is worthy of it. And so you come to him in and through his son, not based upon your own merit and goodness. And so grace means, for example, that God gives you, as far as his work, he gives you a supernatural power to give the gospel. Boy, have you ever had that, the supernatural power of God to give the gospel, and you've seen God bless it, and you've seen somebody get saved or people get saved. Man, mercy, Peter was afraid. He was hiding in the upper room. But then when he got filled with the grace of God, and the other apostles, those hiding people, those scaredy-cat believers, they were out there confronting their culture in Jerusalem. And they were putting their life on the line. They were putting their life on the line. And they had holy boldness. And the Bible says this when they prayed. It says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 4:31. Now, what is that? That's grace. That's God's grace to do his work of witnessing. And it was tied to specific praying for grace and power to witness. That's why we have a Revival Seekers prayer meeting. That's why we need to be praying for God to bless the preaching of the word. That's why Paul asked for that, and people prayed for him. You ought to pray for the pastoral staff of the church. Pray for our missionaries and pray for our soul winners. And here they were being persecuted in Acts 4 for doing that they needed to do, and they felt their need because they felt weak for God to give them renewed courage, renewed strength, so they would get back up. Have you ever felt weak and like, man, I can't go on, and I had grace, I had courage, but my courage is gone? Have you ever felt that way? Well, what does the Bible say you're to do? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Notice, it doesn't say there they'll fall and need mercy, because they're living on the grace of God. Why don't you get from living on the mercy and get living on the grace of God? And why don't you, listen to this, why don't you get from just getting the grace of God and living on the grace of God to getting great grace, to getting a pouring out of grace in your life? And God is willing to give that to us if we honestly come to him and admit our need and say, I do desire to glorify you. And therefore, it says in Acts 2:47, of these same people, the members of the church now, not the apostles per se, it says they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Wow, they were seeing people get saved daily. Brother Bob just mentioned a lady that took note of his family and took note of Charlie Kirk, and boy, God can use that kind of life and testimony. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of testimony where God is causing people to turn to the Lord because of you? You can have it. And the Bible says in Acts 4:33, and with great power gave the apostles witness. That means if they had great power, you can have little power in witnessing, little Holy Ghost power, or you can have great power. It says that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then it says, and great grace was upon them all. Who is that? The people of the church. What's great grace? It's great desire and ability to live for God your life. Throughout the week, day after day, you can have that kind of great grace, because that's what it says, and great grace was upon them all. Now, that's revival. Revival is to take a subnormal church and bring us back to New Testament normal grace and power to witness and to live and do the will of God. So that's revival, and it's a supernatural pouring forth of the presence and power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God in your life. Now, perhaps you be honest tonight and you say, I don't have that great grace in my life. Pastor, I really am not of a level of a Charlie Kirk. I'm not of a level of somebody that really has great grace in my life. But you could say this tonight. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Let me quote it. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. There are those of us here tonight that we are fortunate to be here. Our church is fortunate to be here. We're fortunate to have the preserved, inspired Word of God in the English language. We're fortunate to have a preacher that preaches in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're fortunate to have a church and a church building that we can come to. We're fortunate to have a soul winning and a bus ministry and a college and a Christian school. We're fortunate because of our sins and because of our failures, if it wasn't for God's mercy, we'd be gone. I mean, think of Jeremiah. Think of Jeremiah. Remember, Barak was his amanuensis that wrote down the scripture for him and so forth. And Barak was all upset because he had hoped for great things in his life. And Barak didn't see those great things happen. And he saw judgment come down. And what did God tell Jeremiah? He said, don't seek great things for yourself, Barak. Just be thankful that God spared you. In this time of captivity, he spared you, and he spared Jeremiah. Be thankful tonight that God spared you. You could be like some who have blasted out of this church. They've gone downhill. God removed from them his grace, let them fall, and he's teaching them about his mercy. And be thankful that it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail. You can count your blessings of being preserved. As Jeremiah went on to say in verse 23 of Lamentations 3, he said, they that are God's mercies to allow you still to be here and keep receiving blessings day after day. He says, they, which are his mercies, are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You can thank God that he keeps giving you mercy every day, and you can count those blessings and name them one by one and thank the Lord for what he has done. Maybe you don't have a great revival, but you can thank God for the fact you're here and you're still able to go forward. You know, somebody, we went and visited our daughter-in-law and our son and the baby, the 16th grandchild, their fifth child. And we had prayed for that baby to flip. We had prayed for that baby to flip because it was breech, remember? And some folks had prayed for that, and the baby had flipped and locked into place. But a whole other week went by, and finally, last night at 3 a.m., she had the baby, and she went into labor yesterday, and we heard about it. And come to find out, when the midwife got there, she pulled my son aside, and she said, that baby has flipped back again. It's breech. It's breech. And it's coming out by feet first, and it's going to be difficult. And so she said to my son, you might want to call 911. And he did, and it was like the place was swatted. They had fire trucks. They got there within about a minute and a half. It was like everybody. But when the baby came out, it wasn't breathing. And they were giving it mouth to mouth. They put a mask and tried to breathe in the midwives, and the baby wasn't breathing. Turned blue and was not breathing. And they were praying in Jesus' name, breathe, breathe, you know. Because that baby came out breech, and it took a while to manipulate the baby. And thank God the baby started breathing. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. We don't need to take these things for granted. My wife and I were praying. We prayed together that night, and we didn't take it for granted. And you can know it's of God's mercies that we're here. And because you're here, here's what it says in Lamentations 3, verse 25. Now, this fits in with grace. It says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Maybe you're just thankful that he's showing you his mercy and that you're still here and you're still going. But he said, because he's kept me here, I'm going to hope in him. What's hope? It's a favorable, confident expectation of good from God, and we might say of grace from God, and great grace from God, that because you've survived, now why not say, Lord, you let me survive. Thank you. Now I want your grace. Amen. Now I want more of your blessing to do your will and to do your work with success. And I think of Ecclesiastes. It said that a living dog is better than a dead lion. In other words, very practically, God has left you here. You may not be as great as men of God of the past and ladies of the past who were lions, but they're not here. They're gone. You're here. Should not you look for more? Should not you hope in God for his grace in your life? Oh, I'm saying that is what he says. The Lord, verse 25, Lamentations 3, the Lord is my portion. Notice that the Lord is my portion, capital L-O-R-D. That's your covenant personal relationship to God. Saith my soul, therefore, okay, because the Lord is my portion, therefore will I hope in him. And I might say, hope in him for greater grace. Hope in him for greater days ahead. Look for that. So, I'm saying tonight, what you need is God's blessing. Number one, because of God's promises to you of it. He promises you mercy and grace and peace. Number two, because of God's pouring out to you of it. He pours out mercies. He pours out grace. He can pour out peace. But lastly, because of God's peace in you concerning it. And I want to focus in, lastly, on God's peace in you. And Jesus said it this way in John 14. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, what Jesus was saying is, if you want to have peace, you better know that I can calm the storms in your life. I remember being in Florida in 2017, going through storms in my life. And I remember on the refrigerator, my granddaughter had a picture of the disciples out in the storm, and Jesus had just said, peace be still, and everything calmed down like that. And the basic message to me was, I can calm this thing down in a moment. When I'm ready. When I'm ready. And that's what the Bible is saying here. You believe in God, that he's all powerful. Well, Jesus said, I'm God, and you're in me, and I can calm anything that's happening in and around your life. I can turn it around in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And when you realize that, you should have peace. So often the disciples did not have peace because they didn't realize who was with them in the boat. Remember when Jesus calmed the wind, he went, peace. Then after he calmed the wind, the waves were still kicking up, you know, and he said, peace. And the waves stopped and the wind stopped like that. And they said, what manner of man is this? That he can make even the winds and the waves obey. You need to realize who he is. He said, let not your heart be troubled, because if you believe I am who I am, you'll realize I'm in the boat with you. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I know who's with you in the boat. It may be heavy, a lot heavier than I'm going through, but I know who's with you in the boat. And that's the reason why you can have peace. I remember being afraid as a little kid, and I'd crawl between my dad and my mom, and boy, I was had peace there. A little boy crawling in there. I was afraid at night, but boy, if I was between them, man, I had peace. I'm sure they didn't have peace when I was there doing that. But anyway, that's what the Lord does. And therefore, to help you maintain that peace in your heart, the first thing he tells you is that he's in control. He's the Lord. The second thing he tells you is, get this, he's got a better place for you. He said this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, by the way, there's a difference between mansions and a place that he's preparing. The place that he's preparing is a city called the New Jerusalem. 1,380 miles long, wide, and high, a big cube city. Enough for if every believer had a property and was equal, it'd be 75 acres of property. Now, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, but I go to prepare a place for you. What is the place he went to prepare? It is the city. You say, well, what in the city did he need to prepare? He needed to go to the Ark of the Covenant. He needed to go and put his blood there. He was telling them he was going to do that. He needed to finish the New Testament. And to prepare that city by going there and doing that in the Holy of Holies there. And he did that. But he also said, I've got a mansion up there for you. Do you believe that? Do you realize that tonight? That not only is there a city up there where the Lord is and his blood is that he's prepared for us, but he also has a mansion that he's built for each one of us up there. Luke talks about eternal habitations, different mansions. I remember going to Malibu with my son when we went to California, and he took us and showed us all these mansions of the stars right on the Pacific Coast Highway, and they were very beautiful. But I will be honest with you, they didn't impress me at all. I thought, I've got so much better than what these people have. Their lives are rotting. They're going to die. They're going to leave this all. They can't take it with them. It's nothing. It's nothing. I think of Charlie Kirk. He left suddenly. If you could see what he sees now, you would be, like Paul said, I can't even tell you about this because you wouldn't want to stay here. This is just nothing compared. Paul said it's better. It's much better. And that's what the Bible says. And so each one of us, he has a mansion just for you. I want one facing water. That's all I ask. But the Bible says in Hebrews, ye took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Do you realize that? Yeah, we have to take care of what we have, but you have nothing here like what is there. I mean, here, how many of you have ever hit a pothole? There, the street is paved with pure gold. Can you imagine the mansion there? I mean, it is wonderful. It says there you have an inheritance. It's incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How many have ever received any kind of inheritance from a parent or something? Raise your hand. Something that they left you. Yeah. I remember my wife's grandmother left us $2,000. My grandmother left me a plate and eternal salvation. But I'm just saying, no matter what you're left from a parent, you got to leave it to somebody else who's got to leave it to somebody else. And that keeps going until what? Well, I read here, that's going to keep going until it says in 2 Peter 3, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be what? Burned up. Seeing these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation? In other words, it's the way you live. All these things are going to be burned up. Boy, I enjoyed riding in that Corvette with Bobby, but Bobby, that thing's going to be burned. Your house down here is going to be burned. Everything will be burned up. You can't take anything with you. And good thing, because what's up there is so much better. And when he cleans up and burns up this world, he's going to remake it and bring that heavenly home down here. The heavenly city I'm talking about. And the mansion, that'll be your mansion forever. You'll never have to do the plumbing. You'll never have to pay a mortgage. You'll never have to fix a leaky toilet, Brother Joe. Never have to work on the ladies' bathroom. You won't need a bathroom. There'll be no bathrooms up there. Praise God. This is real. This is so real. We've had many people in this church, especially since 2020. They've left us. And those that are believers, they're in heaven right now enjoying the wonderful mansion, the wonderful presence of the Lord. Oh, that is why you can have peace, even when things in this life get shaken up. And it says in the Bible, they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. So you can have peace because Jesus is with you in whatever you're going through, and he's God Almighty that can calm your storm in a moment, because he's got something better for you. That if he decides to take you out of here, it's only because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. He's got something better. And lastly, because if he doesn't take you out of here, he's going to come and get you. And if he does take you out of here, he's going to come and get your body and raise it back up. And you will be forever with the Lord. And that's what he says in John 14. And I go to prepare a place for you, a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. We're getting closer. It's not going to happen September 23rd, though. Let me just say that. Not going to happen. Now, it could happen on a feast time like that, but it's not going to happen. But we're getting closer. And he is coming back. And there will be a rapture. And he'll take us out of this world. And our loved ones that have gone before us, he'll raise their bodies and he'll bring them back. And the Bible says that should give you peace. Even when Charlie Kirk has been taken, that foolish, wicked young man didn't really take his life. God took Charlie home. He took him home. He knows what he's doing, and you can have peace because he'll never leave you or forsake you. Listen, what we need is God's blessing. His mercy, get his mercy. His grace, get his grace. His peace, make sure you are not letting your heart be troubled, that you have his peace. Because I've read it, Jesus conquered. Jesus is your best friend that you have, and you're going to be with him forever. Amen and amen if you're saved. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about getting God's blessing. Have you